Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, which we read today, we did read last week as well. And perhaps a passage appropriate even for to speak against the fooling around with devilish things, as people do at Halloween. Tomorrow, these goings on. Now, I don't make any effort like some to try to justify any of that whatsoever at all. And in fact, this sermon, I hadn't even thought about Halloween, but as I was preparing it, I thought, oh, this is just, of course, exactly shows you what these things are all about, and why we should fear God. Now, this man Jesus came to, and he was clearly converted from all his troubles. This man, Legion, one of the most horrible characters described in the Bible. He really knew what demons were, who the devil was, what utter filthiness was. He didn't find it a time of any entertainment. He was a thoroughly miserable man, and there's no fun to be had in dressing up as witches or as devils or whatever else they care to be at this time of year. It's a very solemn subject, but it's wonderful to read of his deliverance that this man has. Now, we read of him in the country of the Gadarenes, over the other side of the River Jordan, on the side on the River Galilee. It went, as it were, from the north down, and then there was the Sea of Galilee, about 15 miles long and 6 miles wide, very deep down, below sea level, this Sea of Galilee. And so that's why when we hear about the pigs falling in the sea, it was very, they could fall off from it was a very low-lying sea, the Sea of Galilee, a marvellous place, wasn't it, where Jesus walked on water and the miraculous catches of fish and lovely things happened. But here he goes to the other side. This part was a Greek area, not a Jewish area, the other side of Judah, of Israel. And so he meets this man. When he came out of the ship, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, of course, we've been reading, haven't we, in some of the scriptures about our spirit. We need a clean spirit. In Ezekiel there that we read, he says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. So there's something wrong with the spirit. Man needs the Holy Spirit in himself, as it says in Ephesians, and we're not even on to demon-possessed people. We're talking of ordinary people here in Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 2. It speaks of what people were like. They were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, this is people who have been converted. Now what they were describing their past. In time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It's clearly referring to some other evil prince. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, there's an evil spirit working in people, causing them disobedience. With the prince of the power of the air. Now it sounds very much like Satan himself here. Among whom also we all had our conversation our ways in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then it talks about God's mercy to them, bringing them to Christ, being quickened with Christ. But first of all, then, they were all having a spirit, a bad spirit in them. We don't get too much considering the different spirits and how our spirit works. But the person in the natural state, as we know, is dead, as it says in that passage, in trespasses and sins. And as a result of it, their lives are unpleasing to God. And you may say, well, I know so-and-so. So-and-so, I can think of people to come to mind now. They're not Christians. They don't behave like this demon-possessed man. They don't do these sorts of things. But I say, he is the extreme case here. And his spiritual state is a dire, extremely bad one. But the state of all people separate from Christ is really, in terms of their end, this is something of it is pictured here. It's a shocking thing to say, isn't it? But it was there in Ephesians that the spirit of disobedience is in them. I'm not saying that they're demon possessed in this sense that it is here. We believe that since the time of Christ, Satan has taken a tremendous blow, defeated on the cross, and that a true demon possession in the full and most horrific sense, where the body is actually completely taken over, is a rare thing. And that there are many other faults and deformities with our minds and with our bodies and in our souls that will have detrimental effects on our thoughts and on our behaviour, which we wouldn't call demon possession, but this is the most severe state here. Isn't it marvellous to think that Jesus Christ, to show his glory, he deals with the hard cases, the real hard cases. And so we can be assured in an intermediate state. So I'm not as bad as this man. No, but you still need to be saved, don't you? We all need to be saved. So we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's see here something else. He came out of the tomb. Some of the tombs would be big little buildings there, so you could get shelter in them. And nevertheless, it's a rather eerie place to be. He had this unclean spirit. He met Jesus straight away when he came out, of course. Now, let's just carry on a little bit here. He was dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Now you think, well, what do they have to bind him for? Why do they have to put chains up? Why did they just leave him there? Well, in Matthew, they avoided the area. It was obviously dangerous. He was a dangerous man. He was a danger to himself, but he was a danger to others. He was so fierce in Matthew 8:28 that no man might pass by that way. They kept away. He was so fierce, they kept right away from him. We have people today who are extremely dangerous. They show you the picture and they say, so-and-so has escaped from prison. If you see this man, don't approach him. You saw him, you want to get him and grab him by the shoulder and say, come on, back to prison. He said, no, don't keep what this what this man like. It was so it tried to bind him, he escaped. You see, some people are so dangerous that they need to go to prison. It's a fact. And some people like this man are so dangerous that they need to be tied up and bound. It's all that can be done. There's nothing else that can be done for him. Some I was listening to this politician saying the other day, that we should double the number of people in prison in Britain. They said it was so much crime. If we doubled it from, I think it was roughly 60,000 to 120,000, you'd really have a major impact on the amount of crime. There are that number of people here, like this man almost, very dangerous people out in our country doing all sorts of crime. And there's not room for them in prison, so they're all loose. You can imagine if they could stop these, how much it would make the country a safer place. Well, that was one suggestion anyway, but there was a better solution, wasn't there, for this man? Much better solution, and it's the solution that we want for all sorts of people, not just criminals, but all sorts of people who are in great danger. This man, verse 4, they couldn't tame him. Think of lions, don't you? Lion tamers. They tame. No, you've got to be careful with it. You tame a lion, you've got to be careful with it. You can't, if it's hungry, you've got to keep your distance. Only go in there when you've fed it. And there's all sorts of ways of being careful with your lion taming. But they can tame these. They can tame all sorts of wild animals. James says it's the tongue, the one thing that can't be tamed. But this man couldn't be tamed. But he wasn't an animal. He was made in the image of God. And this is how Jesus comes to him and deals with him and values this man. You know, and it shows you, you may know various people. You see around certain streets, there'll be a wild person around. Well, I was looking concerned that I'm going to go and approach these sort of people and try and tame them. But there are these people around who are extremely dangerous, and they maybe have a reputation for being dangerous, and they're well known in the area. People avoid them. They can't be tamed. They're made in the image of God. Though they may have all sorts of horrendous things going on, they can put them in prison, or they can come to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? As the church, to be able to say to this tumultuous world, there's a Saviour for people like this. There's a Saviour for people like you. There's a Saviour for the worst amongst us. It's what the Salvation Army used to do when they went out, when they first started up. Go down into the worst places, find the most dangerous people, tell them about the Saviour, see if they'll turn to Jesus Christ. And they've changed, many of them changed. Many Christians have got these sorts of pasts, dwelling in tombs, cutting themselves with stones. This sort of thing. I said, this is the most extreme man. If Jesus Christ can help this most extreme man, how much? It's not much to ask, is it? For him to help many people who are not right. So this man, he cut himself with stones. He was a danger, yes, even to himself. Some people now, they have to lock them up to save them from being a danger to themselves. They think, well, we can't leave them. Or they might harm themselves. They might commit suicide, so we've got to put them in a padded cell, somewhere special, need some special attention. Yet somehow, you see, we're saying how, see, the world will just laugh at them. They think, oh, it's ridiculous. You can't, how can you tell these sort of people about Jesus Christ? But look what happens. He appears to be so far off. He seems to be such a hopeless case. But look, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now he came up to him. He came down right down to his feet. The most terrible person, when they see or hear of Jesus Christ, something sounds right. But so often it's not that these things are not predictable to us, but some will hear. They'll be glad to hear of it. A person in that sort of state, they know there's something wrong. They may feel utterly hopeless. They can't do anything for themselves. But when they see Jesus, they worship him, just as this man ran. He ran to him. Maybe when he saw him first, he was running to him. He saw someone, I can attack someone. Someone's come within my range at last. But as he comes to him, he worships him. And so it is today with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's marvelous to be able to tell people in this very strange world in which we live. It's almost as strange as this. You could just say, well, we won't consider that he's possessed with demons, but people are so strange today, so far from God, so unable to relate as they should do to one another. And something, but if they would hear of Jesus Christ, this is what the Christian has to say, isn't it? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This is what Jesus Christ does to the soul. Yes, I'm a sinner, like this man. But there's a Saviour that died for sinners. So he recognises Jesus, and however far gone a person may be, it's Jesus Christ that they need. There are gimmicks, churches have tricks and all sorts of things, but they need to tell people that Jesus Christ, it's him, it's coming to him that's the great change. All the other things, they won't help. Jesus, just we were saying this morning, as Luther said, it's Christ, Jesus Christ. And then all the other bits of the church, as it were, fell away, and he saw Jesus Christ only. This was the means of grace. This is the means of righteousness. Trusting in the Saviour, in his blood, in his righteousness. And salvation is assured in Jesus Christ. This is what's needed. It stands out. So he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. What a torment to have your life ruled by evil. And then he would think that when the Saviour comes, he torments him. You're condemned. What can you do? Cutting yourselves with stones like that. Frightening people. Staying in the tombs. Breaking all those chains, and yet I'm the Saviour. She's going to frighten this very demon-possessed man. Jesus, be merciful to me. Well, he's kind of saying the wrong things and saying the right things. It's in a terrible state, but he knows that there's power with Jesus Christ. He knows there's power with him. He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. It's marvellous, isn't it, to hear of the power of Jesus Christ. If I can take an unclean spirit out of this man, what can he do for you? What can he do for me? We're encouraged. Sorry?
I would let you be born thirsty.
Yeah, well, it's the same now, and it's different, but it's the same. It's great. Yeah. Now, you see further on that this man, he wanted to stay with Jesus afterwards. He was told he was sent out on his own. That must have been more frightening for him. Anyway, let's carry on. What is thy name? He answered, Legion, for we are many. And now, There's a question in here, how many spirits are there? Which is the spirit? All sorts of questions can be asked. At this point, there's a confusion in a way. He had his own spirit. That itself was unclean. There was one overall spirit, perhaps, one leading spirit of uncleanness and of a demon. And then there seemed to be many. It was like they were all organized like a little army, organizing this man. It was like very organized, like a legion of maybe several thousand soldiers, all bombarding him with this wickedness. And he was overwhelmed by it all. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Strange request. He felt he was completely hopeless, this man. He couldn't see his demons being taken away from him. He didn't know what would replace them, I suppose. There would be nothing there, he'd be destroyed. But there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine. So just think back a minute. When he was being tormented, he thought Jesus would torment him. It's exactly what people think that the Christian will do to them. Maybe we're guilty of it sometimes. We torment people who are lost, and they can't do anything about it. And they're stuck, just like this man, they're really stuck. But Jesus came to him for good, calling the unclean spirit to come out of him. He was doing him good. The man thought he was doing him bad. He was so possessed, he couldn't leave his demons. But we're to encourage people in Jesus Christ, and his purpose was for them are good. They say, oh, Christians, they're causing this problem with Christians here, problem with Christians there. No. We've got the good that the world needs. The good that the people of the world need is Jesus Christ. But you tell them that and you say, you're tormenting me. It's very strange. It's so similar, isn't it, to this extreme example, so similar to the world in which we're living now. Now, the swine, the pigs, we don't really, of course, for the Jews, the pigs were unclean, they couldn't go near them. But the point here really is that 2,000 pigs are of less value than one man. To save him, these demons were sent out. See, if they were sent out loose anywhere, they would go and do something else. But here, they could be disposed of. They could be judged. There are so many demons and devils and these types of things, spiritual wickedness around. This is what we're told, isn't it, that we fight against today. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And our battle that we're in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're told, therefore, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is a defeated devil. This is since. Then, this is Paul's writings. After the cross, the Christian is still in a battle against the devil. Now, some people confuse that and say, well, am I possessed by the devil myself? Christians seriously say this about themselves. We are in such a conflict that you may have the most strange thoughts from time to time. I think, well, I've been caught. But no, the truth is that Jesus Christ has set his people free. And yet we're in a battle in this way, but we are to hold fast in the Lord, and we're not in the position of this man here when we're in Christ. That's important. You may feel like it from time to time. What's going on? What? Like Job, when Job was so attacked, wasn't he? The devil really had a go at Job, and yet it was control. It was limited. He could go so far, but no further. He couldn't kill Job. It's absolutely impossible. God wouldn't allow it. And so for the Christian, we are in this spiritual battle, but it's not like this possession. We are for Christ. We don't say to Jesus Christ, "Torment me not," do we? We say, "Come, Lord, come to me." We don't say, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" Do we? That's what would be said by the one who was fighting against Christ. But when he's on our side, it's wholly, wholly different. Well, this then sending of the swine away. Well, away they went, and there's no problem here in wondering why this happened. It is a very strange incident, but it shows you what God is prepared to give to save a soul. Do we need to have 2,000 pigs slaughtered to save our sins? No! One Christ himself, the one who was involved at this time, he himself gave his own life, didn't he? To save a multitude, a great multitude from their sins. In fact, it was Christ's death that saved this man. It wasn't the pig. There were sacrifices throughout the Old Testament that couldn't take away sins. So the swine are gone. But it was a great sign. It had a strange effect on people. They that fed the swine told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were astounded. They were more astounded than the pigs running down into the sea. See, the pigs couldn't become demon-possessed. They haven't got the spirit or the soul to become possessed. No, but their bodies were taken over, just like this man's body. And they all went down into the sea and were choked in the sea. But when the people saw it, then they came and they saw this man. And here he was. He was clothed. He was sitting down. He couldn't sit down before. Not calmly, for a little minute, sit down. He had clothes on, and he was in his right mind. I remember phoning up someone once, and I said, "How are you?" And he said, "Sitting and clothed and in my right mind." And it sums up, doesn't it, what it is to have peace with God. Just that calmness that comes across us, you would think. Through all the storms, how could I be calm? There is this wonderful calmness. But how can people explain it? What does the world make of it? They see it. They see someone that was all full of terrors, and they're calm. Because they've come to Jesus Christ. He's given them life. He saved them. They're calm. They're in their right mind. They're not like they used to be. A different. It's a marvellous thing. Praise the Lord. So their reaction they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. the reaction of people to Jesus Christ is very strange. As we said before, we've come with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the very thing they need. So you're tormenting me. You know, come to help you.
You sinner.
I think that's the sort of thing people say. They get angry, they get annoyed. You're saying that I'm a sinner. Yes, but you've got to get the whole picture and explain these things to them. They think that the Christian's out to spoil them. They think that it's out to be mean to them, to be unkind to them. Well, yes, they pick on the things we say are sinful. That's what the truth is, that we can see that they've got a very lot in common with this man who's in a very serious state. Maybe they don't sleep in tombs. Maybe they don't cut their bodies with stones. But spiritually, that's what it's like. They're separated from God by their sins and they're in a terrible state. Every bit as serious. This picture here of this man, it gives you some idea almost of a picture of hell. The hell is much worse. And it's coming to people who don't look anything like this man. On the outside, but on the inside, it's very much of the unclean spirit. Not coming to God as he is. Not coming to Jesus Christ. Trusting in their own righteousness. Full of pride. Full of vanity. These things are every bit as foul as this demon-possessed man. And so they see what happens. And they want to cling to their sins. And they say, depart from us. Get away from us. Go away. They've come and they've lost their precious pigs into the sea. They would cling to their things that they've got rather than have Christ. They'd have anything else but him. And then he wants to go. This is the difficult part. When he was come into the ship, it's Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil, prayed that he might be with him. Like when Peter wanted to remain on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's good here. Let's stay here. But Jesus said, no. He said, go home to thy friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And hath compassion on thee. We didn't think the man had any friends. They all kept away from him. But he did once. He hadn't always been a demon-possessed man running around in a tomb. He was a little baby once, in his mother's arms. She loved him. Who knows what happened to him? Who knows when he got into this state? Who knows what he did before he got into this state? Something went wrong. He did something, perhaps, to bring it on himself. His friends given up on him. I should go back to them. You'd expect that when people become Christians, it's very difficult with their friends to tell them. Because as we tell others what's happened to us, we're saying to them, there's something wrong with you. That's hard, isn't it? Christian that's been saved from his sins knows that he's not the only sinner. And all these people to whom this man's got to go, he's got to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. Now, he did have some success. Because when, in Mark chapter 7, Jesus goes, he came to Decapolis, which is the 10 cities, this same area, in verse 31 of Mark 7, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they besought him to put his hand upon him. So it appears that this man whether others had actually been converted or not. They knew when Jesus came back to that area, bring this man. It worked on this one. Let's bring him. So he had made some progress. We don't know how much, but something. They believed it. They knew. They couldn't gainsay it, that Jesus Christ had done the most marvelous work to save this man. The evidence was seen in those swine. That was an important thing, that the swine had been choked in the sea as well. That was part of the proof. That was what was so shocking to them. The pigs, they know where they're going. The pig knows. The pigs have been living there a while. They know where the cliff is. They know where the edge is. They don't go and fall in the sea. Maybe one pig fell in the sea once a year, but not 2,000 of them will charge all at once. It's mad, and they wouldn't do that. So they knew that it was true. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. In verse 20, chapter 5 there. So, this is for us, isn't it? To tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some conclusions. And I see time's gone on. You see here. Do you remember what we said this morning? It's Reformation Sunday. The day 494 or 6 years ago, almost 500 years ago, when Dr. Martin Luther nailed on a wall statements saying what was wrong with the church. 95 statements. Why they were making money out of claiming forgiveness for sins. He stood up and the church started to read the Bible again, and there was a new church came out 500 years ago. One of the main points he made was that man is not free. He's bound. Just like this man here. Very much a Reformation theme of Reformation. The church, coming back to the truth, it believes that like this man Legion, an individual is absolutely bound. They're absolutely stuck. No one can help them. There's nothing they can do. They're destined for a life in prison. You see it today, don't you? Lives, what is the hope for these lives? How can they change? Another project, another scheme? Help their self-esteem? What's going to help them? Jesus Christ. You see, he's the cheapest, the best option, the costliest option, perhaps. But man is stuck. Whatever sort of sinner, he hasn't got the power to break free from his sin. He can break free from his chains, but he can't break free from his sin. And only Jesus Christ does that. For Halloween, tomorrow, these demons are no laughing matter. Satan is real and dangerous. It's no use. Satan's favorite scheme. Oh, it doesn't exist. Satan will tell you he doesn't exist. The devil doesn't exist. Play around with witchcraft. Play around with dressing up as a devil. But no. The devil's made a misery of this life. And the devil continues making a misery of so many lives. But Jesus Christ is an absolute powerful saviour to deliver. And we also learned from the great change that came about in the Protestant Reformation. They used to try casting out devils before the Church of Rome. Plenty of exorcisms there. Churches in Africa today saying, oh, they've got demons and they're doing all these gibbly things to try and get them free. But it's the gospel that sets them free. It's Jesus Christ that sets people free. It's not someone towering over someone with an exorcism. That's all a load of hocus pocus. Now, there may be odd, strange cases. And yet, the central thing is Jesus Christ to save. The enemies of the gospel today are just as much demonic, satanic, evil spirits. All these things are at work, but Jesus Christ is a saviour. There's a continual fight against Satan day by day. These things are to be taken seriously. We're not to walk foolishly. We're not to joke about the devil and this sort of thing. These things are very real, and many people in this world are full of, we wouldn't exactly say demon-possessed, but they're under the effects of the devil, and absolutely stuck, and they need Jesus Christ. He's the answer to be given. Satan is bound, but he's bound by the defeat that he suffered on the cross when Christ died and rose again. And by the blood of Christ, through faith in Christ, people are free. They are free from the power of Satan. Now, you'll argue about this, you'll say, well, I've still got problems. Yes, Jesus Christ said you are in a conflict still with Satan, but you're not bound by Satan. If you're in Christ, you're clothed, you're sitting, and you're in your right mind. This is a good news of Jesus Christ, who saved then and saves today all that come unto him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that all power and authority is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that in him our fears are cast out by his perfect love. Lord, we thank thee that our torments and troubles, we can all turn them to thee. And we can say, come, Lord Jesus. We don't want to push thee away. We want thee to come nearer to us and be merciful to us and to help us. Lord, we need thy Spirit, thy blessed Holy Spirit, working in us. Lord, we pray for the churches that are caught up with strange ways of going about trying to cast out demons and things, Lord, and we pray that they may come to the sense of the truth of the gospel in Christ that he casts out through faith in his blood. Lord, have mercy, we pray. We pray thou would revive thy church, revive in thy church the knowledge that was brought back many years ago now, that we're not free, but Christ sets thy people free. And he gives us faith, hope, and grace, and counts his righteousness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that the gospel may go forth. We pray that many people will be delivered from their sins into the wonderful liberty of the children of God. We thank thee, Lord, that thou dost bring us out of darkness into thy glorious light. And we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to keep all his sheep and never to lose any. We thank thee, Lord, that with all the trials and temptations, we can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We can be clothed in the armour of God with faith and trust and salvation and righteousness, all in Jesus Christ. And in him we have all security and all that we need. Lord, we pray for thy church that suffers much, that thou will give them grace and give them a great strength and faith to continue. We pray, Lord, that many people may be turned out of this wickedness of darkness and may be brought out of the things which bind them to the glorious freedom in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.